Oh, we got young Anthony. You could be on your own. Oh, you're not on your own. Good. There comes Braden. Wonderful. Good to see you guys here this morning. Oh, good. And we've got some who are going to be able to play the game that I have here. Anthony, come on around here. You need to be out front here. You need to be around here. Attaboy. Good job. Okay. A quick game of Simon Says. Who knows the game of Simon Says? You know that game? You know that game? Very good. You know the game Simon Says? All right. Ready? Simon Says, stand up. Alan's already ready. He guessed that was going to be the first one. Simon Says, put your hand over your mouth. Alan guessed that one too. Good job. Simon Says, put your fingers in your mouth. Carefully. Okay. All right. Very good. Sit down. Alan is the only one. Very good job, Alan. We have a child prodigy. I got you there. So, question for you. How many parts of your body were involved in that game? Of course, your feet were involved, right? So that's two. How about your hands? Were your hands involved in that game? So that's four. What else?
Your lips.
Your lips, right? That's two. That's six parts of your body. How many other parts? Were your ears working? Your ears weren't working?
Yeah.
Sure they were. You had to listen. How about your eyes? Were your eyes working?
Yeah.
Yeah, very good. So that's a lot of parts of your body. You know, today we're going to talk about how God, He made us one body. Like, you have one body, right? Just, there's only one Anthony. There's definitely only one Anthony. You got one body, but you got lots of parts of your body, and all those parts are still one body, right? And it's the same way in the church. All the people in the church are parts of the body, which is the church, and yet we all work together as one body. All right? Let's pray together. Let's pray that we'll work together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the body of Christ, which is the church. And I pray that all the members of the body of Christ would learn this morning what a great design you've given to the body of Christ, how it's many members working together to do your work on the earth. Bless these kids as they go to children's church or as they stay with their parents. Help us to know the word of God. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Off you go. Good job. Great job. Alan did a fantastic job. Let's open our Bibles together to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, we're in chapter 12. If you're visiting with us, we're going verse by verse through the book. We come today to a rather long section, 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 to 27. And we talked this morning about doubts and fears when we studied Judges. I doubt and I fear whether we'll be able to finish on time, but we'll try. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 to 27. The title of the message this morning is The Body. I would encourage you, follow along in your Bibles with me. 1 Corinthians 12, 12. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as He pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. So, when is the last time that you played Simon Says? Oh no. Aha. Well, we're gonna play. So, if you're able, if you're not able, I understand, it's okay, you get an exception, but if you're able, Simon Says, stand up. Simon Says, arms up like this with a fist. Simon Says, thumbs up. Two thumbs up. Simon Says, give your neighbor a two thumbs up for playing along and coming to church today. Two thumbs up. Encourage your neighbor. Very good, very good. Okay, you may be seated. Oh, gotcha. Simon Says you may be seated. Very good, very good. Well, see, all we need is a little icebreaker. So here's a question. In playing that game, how many parts of your body were at work? What do you think? 10? 20? 50? How about countless? Well over 100. In fact, I'll list them very quickly. Ready? Okay. See if I can get it. Eyes, ears, mouth, nose, hands, fingers, feet, toes. That's 30 already. Head, neck, cheeks, lips, arms, legs, shoulders, hips. That's 14 more. We're up to 44. Heart, lungs, knees, knuckles, and countless nerves and countless muscles. We're up over 100. Did you catch that? Well, I threw in the word countless. Well over 100, hundreds and hundreds of parts of your body were working together to do a couple of simple instructions. The body. Here in the verses I read to you, Paul mentions the body 18 times. This obviously is a passage about the body. But what body? Well, on the one hand, it's about the human body. And concerning the human body, in verse 12 alone, Paul tells us three things about the human body. Take a look at verse 12. First, the body is one. You may go ahead at this time and do a selfie, if you like to do selfies, but you're not required. Or you may pull out your, I always thought it was called a compact, but I guess it's called a compact. Ladies carry a compact mirror. If you want to pull out your mirror, you can look. Or you can just check, how many bodies do you have? One body. And this is a truth about the human body. You have only one body. If you have more than one body, come and call the church for counseling. But you really have just one body, and that's the first point here. The body is one. One entity, one living, breathing being created by God with one life flowing through all the members of the body. So the body is one. That's the first truth concerning the human body. Look again at verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, that's the second truth. Your one body has many members. As I said, eyes, ears, mouth, nose, hands, fingers, feet, toes, that's 30, and there's a bunch more. Third truth, and this is the key one, verse 12. But all the members of that one body being many are still one body. What's he doing here? First of all, the body is one. That's unity. The body is a picture, a visible demonstration of unity. But there are many members. That is a picture of diversity. Your fingers are not the same as your hands, and your hands are not the same as your shoulders. That's a picture of diversity. The third is the point. But all of those members, verse 12, the members of that one body being many are one body. That's beauty. That's beauty. That's God's design. God has designed that in the body, the human body, there is diversity plus unity, all working together in harmony. That is the beauty of the human body. But that is not Paul's point in verse 12. Look again. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. There are really three truths here about Christ, and Christ here, meaning Christ as he is now visibly manifest on the earth, how? In the body of Christ, which is the church. So now let's go through verse 12 again, and there are three truths about the church. The body of Christ is one. I know we look around and we say there are gazillions of churches, but what this tells you is there's one body. There's one church. The Lord knows those who are His own. There's one body. That applies to the local church, because He's going to apply that to the local church in Corinth. But that applies universally. There's really only one church. But it has many members. That applies to the church universal and applies right here. The church has many members. Like what? Like eyes, ears, mouth, nose, hands, fingers, feet, toes? No. And let's think about our own local body, okay? Our local body of Christ has many members, like Adams, Comden's, Chambers, Bolts, Zurabs, Whitesides, Whites, and Wolfs. See, that almost rhymes. Cross, Doherty's, Fayola's, Farr, Searcy, Severance, Drew Salazar. The remaining members I could try to rhyme, but then I might go overtime. Would it be okay to go overtime? Then I'll try to rhyme. There's Franklin Wanguma. How'd I do, Franklin? See, there's Franklin and the Gates and Bernice Gerna and Gonzalez, Sandoval Rutherford, Russell's Rouse, and Rodriguez. Well, not bad. There's the Roberts family, Mrs. Potter, and Leroy, whose mother's name is Juanita. There's the Ingrams, Shirley and Springer. Oh, wait, no, I missed one. Oh. Hang on. There's Guerreros and Guthries and Hoheisels, Don and Anita, and there's the Roberts family, Mrs. Potter, Leroy, whose mother is Juanita. See, not bad. Even if I can't read it off my notes, it's not bad. There's the Ingrams, Shirley and Springer, Keltings and Keenitz. Harry himself will tell you that his last name rhymes with peanuts. He'll introduce himself that way. There's Marianne Kish and the boys, the Cooks, the Lattas and the Lollers, Betty Mahan, Irma Mara, Mativis and the Millers. There's Miss Connie and the Phillips, the Filsons and Dr. Matt, Snyders, Beemans, and the Wileys, John and Pat, and the newcomers, John and Pat. And who did I miss? See, if you said I missed you, I'd say, where have you been at? Who did I miss? I missed Miss Mary, quite contrary. Who else did I miss? Oh, I got him with Rodriguez. Did I say the Snyders? See? I left us out. But don't pout. Because what it's all about is the body is many members. But the real thing is, third, all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. One body, that's the body of Christ. So how is that even possible? How can all these different people be members of one body? How's that possible? Look at verse 13. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Now, by one Spirit, verse 13, that is by the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the third member of the one true God, that is diversity and unity, working in harmony in the Trinity. That's Paul's point. By one Spirit, that's we who are believers in Christ, we were all baptized, immersed at the moment of our conversion into one body, the body of Christ. Did it matter what race you were? No. Whether Jews or Greeks. Did it matter your former social or economic status? No, whether slaves or free. Praise God that by one Spirit, without any partiality, as Brother Kevin read this morning, we who have believed in Jesus Christ, when we believed in Jesus Christ, we were baptized forever into the body of Christ. And, notice the second half of verse 13, and we have all been made to drink into one Spirit. How many of you have ever heard it said, you can lead a horse to water, but you cannot make it drink? Ever heard that? Thankfully, God is not so limited. Because the Bible says that unless the Father draws us, we don't come to Jesus Christ. The Father drew us by the gospel to Jesus Christ, and this verse tells us that we were made to drink. That's what it means. That's what it says. The Father drew us to Christ, and He caused us to drink in the Spirit, a very good word picture for this fact. When you believed in Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God entered your body and permeates throughout all the members of the body, much as water, when you drink it, permeates all the members of your body. And now the Holy Spirit lives and abides in every single true member of the body of Christ. Verse 13 is telling us this is how it happened. This is how we all became members individually of the body of Christ. So, verses 12 and 13 are basically saying there's just one body of Christ, the church, made up of all different members, but all the different members still make up only one body, and the way it happened was by the Spirit of God. And the one question you ought to ask, because it's the one he answers in all the remaining verses, is, so what? So what? So what now? Well, in verses 14 to 27, Paul answers that one question by giving us all the implications and applications of these truths that are found in verses 12 and 13. From them, I'm going to sum up seven brief lessons about the body so that we might have a healthy body. I think that you like a healthy body. How many of us, when we're sick, don't turn to some recourse, whether it's herbal medication or just rest, herbal medicine, or rest, or some of us go to the doctor or whatever. We like to be healthy and we don't like to be unhealthy. Well, you know what? God wants the body of Christ healthy. So let's sum up seven lessons about the body so that we would have a healthy body here. The first one, first lesson. No member of the body should underestimate. No member of the body should underestimate his or her importance in the body. Verse 14 says, "For in fact, the body is not one member, but many." I'll tell you what that means. The body is not made up of just one and the same kind of member. In other words, the body isn't just hands. The body isn't just all feet or just all ears. No, the body is many different members, like hands and feet and ears and eyes and nose, each member having its own special gift or ability in the body, each member having value in the body. So, verse 15, here's the so what. So if the foot should say, "Well, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body," is it then not of the body? Now let's just imagine for a moment. Let's go with Paul here. Your foot just pipes up and starts giving you trouble. And your foot says, "Well, I can't do what hand up there does. I can't make all those cool things. I can't write out cards and letters. I can't pick up the telephone and call people. Well, since I'm not hand, I'm not part of the body." If your foot says that, is it therefore no longer part of the body? It's still part of the body. It can't become not a member by complaining. See, this is the case of the complaining member, the disgruntled member of the body that is not content or not happy with its place in the body because it doesn't have the same gifts as another member. Why would the foot say such a thing? Well, because I'm not a hand. Why would it say that? Because it's looking up at the hand and it can see all that the hand can do, and the hand's always uncovered, the foot's always covered with sandal or dirt or shoes or whatever, and the hand is getting all the accolades, getting all the attention, right? Because, I mean, the hand can do so much. And the foot can't do that. And after a while, the foot thinks, "Well, since I can't do all those things, and since I'm not all that the hand is, and I don't get all the attention, all the accolades, I'm just not a part of the body." It's sad, isn't it, when one member of the body feels like it's not part of the body? Does that ever happen in the church? Could you have a member of the body feel like, "Well, I'm not really a member of the body. I'm not one of the elders. I'm not one of the deacons. I can't come to work day. They all go and work. They do all the hand work, and I can't do that." You know who often feels that way? Older members of the body. Those who serve down low in a support function like the foot. That's the picture here, right? The foot feels like I'm low. I just serve a support role. I stand around. I can't do all these things. A member of the body cannot become not a member of the body by being disgruntled or discontent. So, what if the ear should say? Notice verse 16. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Well, didn't he already make the point with the last illustration? Why is he throwing in the ear? Because the ear heard the foot complaining. And guess what complaining is? It's contagious. So ear hears foot down there complaining, and ear says, hey, it's no better up here. Look who my neighbor is. Oh, I. You think you got it bad. I'm up here on the head, and nobody looks at me. They look at me, they see waxen hair. Everybody looks at I. Blue, colorful, shapely, eyelashes. Eyes even doing things to get attention. Ear says, look, it's no better up here, foot. And since I'm not I, I got no vision. I can't see things. I can't see into the distance. Since I'm not I, I'm also not a part of the body. How many of you have ever had a kind of a bum foot? Now imagine if you have a bum foot and an earache. Can you still function? You know you can, but it's not pleasant. Imagine if the body has two members complaining over their place in the body. Can you still function? Yeah, but it's not pleasant. The body's not healthy when you have a couple members who are underestimating their value in the body. Really, no member of your body should underestimate its value in the body. And no member of the body of Christ should underestimate his or her value in the body. And that's the lesson. That's the point. Verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? What is the answer? It wouldn't be. In fact, it'd be kind of weird, right? The whole body is just an eye. I mean, you see that on Monsters, Inc. If you watch Monsters, Inc., there's an eye. But that's kind of a monster. That's not a person. And if you're without hearing, you're losing one of your senses of discernment. There could be a member of the body who's very discerning. Not out front, not up front, maybe doesn't get a lot of attention, but that member of the body is very discerning. That's a needed member of the body. If you're an ear, let me tell you, you need to know, you're valuable. You serve an important function. We need you. You need to be a good discerning listener. Verse 17, if the whole body were hearing, where would be the smelling? What's the answer? Wouldn't be. No smelling. By the way, I don't have a sense of smell. I haven't since 2003. And it's, you know, I can still function. But I wish I had my sense of smell back. I kind of don't like losing that part of the body. And you know what? It's really not as healthy when someone in the body feels like they're not necessary. Or they feel like they're big, slanted, and ugly. Like your nose might feel. Right now I'm big and I kind of stick out front. And no, the nose is necessary. The nose is another discerning member of the body. And the nose and ears together can smell and hear a rat a mile away and warn the body there's danger coming. We need members like that who are discerning. And that may be their primary gift. Don't underestimate your role in the body. No matter what gifts you have, no matter how low you may be or seem to be, you are needful in the body. In fact, you are where God has placed you. Look at verse 18 with me. Look at verse 18. You should know this one by heart soon. But now God has set the members, each one of them in the body, just as he pleased. That word set is the word for sovereign, divine appointment. God has sovereignly, divinely appointed the members of the body, each one of them. So how many are excluded? None. No exclusions here. Every single true believer in Jesus Christ is placed sovereignly by God in the body, right where he wants that member to be. It is God who gave you your gifts. It's God who gave you your role. It wasn't me. It wasn't you. It wasn't any other man. It was the God of the universe. So thank God for who you are. Thank God for where you are in the body. Thank God for the gifts you have and serve him where he's placed. You ever heard bloom where you're planted? Sure, bloom where you're planted. Serve where God has put you. Be an amazing foot if you're a foot in the body, a supporting member. Be an amazing ear. Work on those powers of discernment. Sharpen them. You should be able to say, I am in the body by God. I am what I am in the body by God. I do what I do in the body by God. Right? Because God by His Spirit put you in the body where you are and He put you who you are. Or think about this, verse 19. It's kind of like the final nail in the coffin for this lesson. Let's drive this one home. And if they were all one member, in other words, if the whole body was nothing but an eyeball, where would the body be? What's the answer? You're left with no body. If everybody in the church, if every member of the church is the pastor, there's no flock. Or if every member is the elder, or every member is a deacon, we're not all to be the exact same thing. We're all to be different. That's the beauty of the body. God did not design a stack of hands. If we were a stack of hands, we would be useless. So, the first answer to the so what question. No member in the body should underestimate his or her position in the body. Don't underestimate your role. Second, on the other side, no member of the body should overestimate his or her position in the body. The first one is kind of against complaining and inferiority complex. The second one is against arrogance. You might think you're so gifted, hey, you don't need anybody else. Look at verse 20. But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Why can't the eye, as gifted as an eye may be, as special, as beautiful as an eye may be, why can't the eye say to the hand, I don't need you? Why not? Because that's not true. The eye can see what the body needs to do, but can the eye do it? Can't do it. The eye says, you know, that door needs to be fixed. And hand says, well, fix it. And eye tries to go and do something that only hand can do and gets poked in the eye. And now the eye is useless. You don't want me repairing the door. Not that I'm an eye, but you don't want certain members of the body doing what other members of the body ought to be doing. The result could be ugly. And so I should never say to hand, I don't need you. I'm an eye. I'm way up here. You're way down there. Because that's not true. No, eye needs hand. We need eye-hand coordination in the body. Don't overestimate your value in the body. The body needs every member to function according to God's design. Here Paul is confronting arrogance among the gifted members. And he does it again, verse 21. Nor again should the head say to the feet, or the head cannot say to the feet, I have no need of you. Why not? Because it's not true. Head says, all right, we're going over there. And feet say, well, come on, head. Do it. Go over there. And that's a pretty ugly sight. Head rolling to try and get to where it needs to go. Because foot's saying, hey, you're the big guy up there. You got all those capabilities. Why don't you do it? And head says, fine, I don't need you. I'll get where I'm going without you. And head tries to propel the body forward. That's not a healthy body. That's ugly. Scary. And that's the picture here. It is not a beautiful body of Christ when one member thinks that another member isn't necessary. Because every member of the body is necessary. First application, don't underestimate. Right? Don't underestimate your importance of the body. No member of the body should underestimate his or her importance in the body. Second application, don't overestimate. Third, kind of is the middle ground between those two, and I'm going to borrow from what Paul says in a parallel passage. Third application is think soberly. Think soberly. And the sober thinking is that every member is necessary. Keep your fingers here in 1 Corinthians 12 and turn with me to Romans 12. This is a parallel passage. Turn over to Romans 12. Keep you on your toes here. Get your members of your body working. Use your fingers and your hands and your eyes and your ears and turn to Romans 12. Use your mind, follow along here, Romans 12, verse 3. Paul says, for I say, through the grace of God given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. By the way, the measure of faith here has to do with your spiritual gifts in the body. He's giving here the application to the gospel, the number one application to the gospel of Christ, the truth that Christ gave his life for our sins on the cross and rose up again for our justification. The number one application is that you should present yourself to God a living sacrifice. You should say, God, here I am, send me, use me, work through me. Your entire body and life should be presented to God for him to use you. But he says here in verse 3, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think, no matter how gifted you may be, but think soberly as God has granted to each a measure of faith, a measure of giftedness. Verse 4, Romans 12:4, for as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. Does that sound familiar? Exact same thing in 1 Corinthians 12. So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. And being that, we need to think soberly. We need to think biblically. How do you think biblically? There's one body. I'm a member of the body. But as a member of the body, I'm part of one body. I'm no more important. I'm no less important than any other member of the body. So let's go back to 1 Corinthians 12. This is what Paul is driving at here. We need to think in terms of the body. The human body tells you how to think about yourself and who you are in the body. Now, it gets difficult here. Stick with me. Verse 22. No. What does he mean? He means don't overestimate your importance in the body and don't underestimate your importance in the body. No. Much rather think like this. Those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. Do some of the members of your body here seem to be weaker? Sure. Let's go with pinky toe. Pinky toe seems to be weaker. Now, how many of you ever stubbed your pinky toe? Okay. Shouldn't take too many times of stubbing your pinky toe, then you start to realize that hurts. And then what do you do to show honor and show that pinky toe is valuable? What do you do? Well, if you ask Jordan, he'd tell you, well, I know what Dad does. He wears these open sandals with socks around the house, and he hopes that no other members of the body will come over and see Dad wearing sandals with socks, because that's not cool. But the reason I wear sandals around the house is because I have so many times stubbed pinky toe that I'm showing honor to pinky toe, and I'm making it so that now, if I ram my foot into the wall, it hits the sandal. Nothing's done. No harm, no foul. This is what, well, Paul's not talking about sandals and socks, but he is talking that some members of the body seem to be weaker, and what we do is we protect them. We cover them. We care for them. Because when they get hurt, we all get hurt. No, much rather, verse 22, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are needful. I want pinky toe. I don't want to cut that toe off. The action I took wasn't, you know, I'm just cutting that member of the body off. No, I protected it. And those members, verse 23, of the body which we think to be less honorable, on those we bestow greater honor. Now, it's hard to know exactly which members of the physical body he's talking about here. Some would say he's talking about your internal members. You know, your lungs, for example. How do we bestow on them greater honor? Well, we keep them covered. We keep them hidden. Some say he's talking about your midsection, your midriff. Whatever it is, there are certain members which, on the one hand, might seem to be less valuable than others. They can't do what your hands can do, or they can't do what your eyes can do. But we take action to protect or keep covered those members of the body. It's kind of a natural reaction. But that doesn't mean that those members of your body aren't serving a valuable function. Let's take lungs, for example. Are your lungs ever seen? They're never seen. But they're behind the scenes, breathing. You know, some members of the church aren't much seen, but sometimes they're behind the scenes praying. Hello to all of you, by the way, from Bernice Gurna, who can't come to church anymore because she's pretty much homebound. But you know what she's doing at home? Praying. She prays for you guys. She prays for the church. So you could say, well, we never see Bernice coming around anymore. Huh. We can do without her. Well, I don't really want to do without her. She's a prayer warrior for the church. How about your heart? Heart isn't much seen. Is it working? Pumping blood throughout the body to all the other members of the body. Do you know that there are certain members of the body that work a lot, travel a lot? They aren't maybe seen as much. But for all you know, they're pumping money into God's work in various ways. So do you want to say, well, we don't need that member. He never shows up to work day. Well, he worked last night all night to be able to afford the food that we had on work day. Right? How many of you ever heard, I want to see a show of hands, how many of you ever heard this said, 10% of the people do 90% of the work in the church. How many ever heard that? Maybe you heard the 20-80, 20% of the people. You know, usually that's the hands standing around talking with each other, the hands who showed up. And the hands did all the work, and the hands are talking. They're going, yeah, well, huh. So I want you to imagine that today, after the Simon Says, if you did Simon Says, your hands are saying, well, we did all the work. And yeah, I know, 10% of the people do 90% of the work in the body. Only the lungs over here. And the lungs say, oh, really? You think we weren't working? And heart says, you think I wasn't working? And eyes and ears and some of the other members get a little disgruntled. You know, that's one of the reasons that some members complain. You know, I am ashamed to say that I myself have said, you know, 10% of the members of the body do 90% of the work, but I am not saying that anymore because I am rebuked by what this says here. That's not a true statement. There are members of the body that we don't see, we don't hear, but they believe in Jesus, and it does not mean that they're not doing any function in the body. Do you know that there are members of this body that do things about which you and I have no idea? They actually do things for the gospel about which you and I have no clue. Shame on us if we were to say, well, we really don't need that member of the body because he never comes to men's breakfast. Well, a lot of guys don't come to men's breakfast, but it doesn't mean necessarily that they're sitting at home watching reruns of Andy Griffith on Saturday morning. They could be out discipling somebody in some other way. We should not think that we're not important, and we should not think that we're so important. Instead, we should think we're all important, and that's to think soberly. Think soberly about the body. Verse 23 at the bottom. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. What is he talking about here? Well, unpresentable means there are certain parts of our body that we don't let anyone see. And there are other parts of our body that are naked all the time. Well, pretty much. You know, there are certain parts of our body that we almost never cover. And there are other parts of our body that we always cover. Well, that's because certain parts of our body don't want to be seen. And other parts of our body, they don't need to be covered up all the time. You know, your hands can stand a lot. They can be out there in the cold, and they can be out there in the heat, and they can be out there in the rain, and they can be out there just working. Well, way to go, hand. But you've got other parts of your body that don't want to be out there in the heat, the cold, the wind, the rain. They don't want to be out there. And you know what you do? You cover them. Does that make them useless? No. No, you could be here today because of one of those parts. In fact, you are here today because of one of those parts. And I'm not going to get into specifics, but most people say that's what Paul's talking about here. There are parts of the body that serve a certain function, and we keep those covered all the time. And there are others, hey, they don't need to be covered. Think soberly about the body. All the parts are needed. They're all valuable. They're all part of God's design. Don't underestimate and don't overestimate your importance in the body. Think soberly. Because, verse 24, God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it. That's an interesting statement. And he is here very much transitioning to talking just about the church. Now notice it says there, God composed, verse 24, God composed like a composer, pulling together all the different instrumentalists, musicians, and putting together a masterpiece, or like an artist. This word was used in the first century of an artist who takes canvas in various colors and puts it all together to produce a masterpiece. God, like the master painter, like the master composer, composed the body, yes, your human body, but also the body of Christ, having given greater honor to that part which lacks or lacked it. I'm going to give you an example. Since he's talking to Corinth here, I want you to think of two members of the church at Corinth. How many of you, quick raise of hands, have heard of Apollos? Apollos. Very good. Hands down. How many of you have heard of Justus? Not Justus with an I-C-E, but J-U-S-T-U-S. Okay, good. Some of you heard of him. He's only mentioned one time. Now, Justus, we don't know much about him. He's mentioned in the book of Acts in association with the church at Corinth. All we know is that he was a worshiper of God. His house was next door to the synagogue. Probably a member of the body that, you know, just not, we're not told a lot. Let's consider that he was no one special. But he's a member of the body. Now, how about Apollos? Some of you could rattle off quite a few details about Apollos. A Jew born in Alexandria. It's like being born at Oxford today or something like that. He was born in Oxford, went to Oxford. Probably highly trained, very gifted. He is called an eloquent man, mighty in the scriptures. He became the great defender of the faith. Apollos, way up here, right? Justus, way down here. What did God do? He made Justus every bit as much a member of the body as Apollos. To that member which lacked honor, he gave the greater honor so that in the end they're exactly equal. Neither one of those two members of the body of Christ at Corinth was any less important than any other member. God so composed the body that by his word and by his spirit, having given the same inheritance to each, he made them all equal members of the body. So that, and now we come up with the final four lessons. Remember I said there would be seven lessons about the body so that we'd have a healthy body? First one, don't underestimate. No member of the body should underestimate his or her importance in the body. Number two, don't what? Overestimate. No member of the body should think so highly of him or herself that you don't need some other member of the body. It's not true. Third, think soberly. That's kind of the middle ground between those two. Those are easy. The last four are also easy. They're right in the text. Take a look at verse 25. So that there should be no schism. There's the fourth lesson. No schisms in the body. But that the members should have the same care. Underline that. Same care. No schism, same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with. That's the next lesson. Suffer with. Suffer together. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with. No schism, same care, suffer with, rejoice with. That's the final four lessons. Let's walk through them quickly. No schisms. As you remember, this was the whole problem in the church at Corinth. And this is one of the single greatest problems in the church today. What is it? Schisms. Little group breaks off. We don't need those people. We're not valued around here. Oh, it's so sad when that happens. I hate church splits. And I pray against them, and I pray there will never be a church split under my serving here. I will battle tooth and nail. If you start to break off or break a group off, I'll be coming to your house. Please don't do this. I would beg you. Don't split a group off. Give us reasons why you would even think of such a thing. But that's what they were doing in Corinth. There were some that were high and mighty. They were the more gifted members. And some of the other ones, the lower, were complaining against them. Well, I guess I'm just not part of the body. I might as well just leave. Oh, don't think that way. There should be no schisms, no divisions. How foolish would it be in your body for foot to fight against hand? I mean, that's ridiculous. And that's how ridiculous it looks in the church when members of the body fight against one another. Let's not have members of the body battling against each other. No schisms. We might disagree on something. We might have to talk it through. We might have to pray through it together. But there's no place in God's design for schisms, tears, rips, factions in the body of Christ. Next lesson, same care. All the members should have the same care for one another, verse 25. That word for care is the word for anxious concern. I should be anxiously concerned about a member of the body of Christ if you are suffering in some way. Now this, by the way, this is talking about those who are members of the body. There are certainly people who are not members of the body. They don't know Christ. They're not a part of the church. He's not talking about having the same anxious concern over that person. This is talking about somebody who's a true member of the body and is suffering in some way. Then we all suffer in some way. It does not mean we suffer exactly the same thing. Right? We just had this past week, a member of the body went on to be with the Lord. And so now another member of the body is suffering in some way. And you know what? Some of you prayed for Esther and her family. Some of you gave. Some of you came together. Some of you made food. Some of you called or visited or sent cards or sent flowers. Praise the Lord. That's a beautiful thing. That's a healthy body. When we see one member of the body suffering in some way, and then in some way we show, hey, we are suffering with you. Next lesson, sixth. Same suffering. I jumped ahead of myself here. Same suffering. If one member suffers, and that's just one, it could be any member, suffers adversity of any kind, then all the members suffer with. Right, same care and same suffering kind of go together. We care for all the members, we suffer together with one another. And then finally, one more. What if one member is honored? Dr. Thomas, who has a great book on spiritual gifts, called Understanding Spiritual Gifts, says, what about if one member is recognized because of his or her usefulness? You know, my wife likes to make gifts for people. Well, she's certainly a very good hand in the body. Well, and people say thank you, and then people say, oh, isn't that great? Well, what about you? You know, you say, well, I can't make pillows. I can't make pillows. So should I say, well, I just don't like that she's getting all those accolades. Should I now fight with my wife because she's making pillows for the guys? No. That would be crazy. Imagine if we came to you for counseling and I said, well, we're having an argument. What is it? Well, she makes all these pillows and then she gets all this attention. What? You should be rejoicing. Same when any member of our body gets honor for some reason. All of us rejoice together. I'll close with this. And I did go over time, but it was for the sake of the rhyme. And you said I could go over time. So. This past week, a certain person was part of the memorial service, but she's not part of our church. She is part of the body of Christ, but she was part of the memorial service and serving. And I want you to know something. I hope you'll take this the right way. I want you to know that she says, you have a beautiful body. You have a beautiful body. She meant that we have a beautiful church. Because as the body of Christ, we came together and she could see that we're all pitching in various ways. And she doesn't see that in everybody. And so I'm here to tell you, don't take this message as, oh, pastor's trying to convict us of something. I'm trying to encourage you. We are very blessed to have a beautiful body where the members are functioning in various ways. I hope that you'll take the lessons of the body to heart. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for what you teach us here. Help us to keep in mind the simple illustration, the simple vivid image of the body. One body, many members, but all those members working together make up one body. I pray that, Father, we as members of the body of Christ would work together in harmony for the glory of Jesus Christ and for the furtherance of the gospel. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.